pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Accounts payable this morning?
Under here somewhere.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the accounts payable and that we recycle date 520 through 524, and the total amount will be $227,752.45, knowing that the county manager has reviewed and approved such.
Second. Is there items of note, Tom?
Yeah, a few items to bring your attention. Payment to Lawan and Associates, Inc. This is from for IT operations and setting up and purchase of some cleft network components, $1,945. Payment to Bond Concrete. This is Road and Bridge Operations and a purchase of 20 cattle guard wings with bolts, $5,700. Payment to EP Blazer LLC. This is from the motor pool and the purchase of a Chevy Suburban for the extension services, $42,943. Payment to Infrastructure Management Services, Inc. This is Road and Bridge, and this is a 2018 pavement analysis project, and that cost was $12,957.50. Have anything else? Any questions or the rest of it?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Items of note from the previous day's work session. We did not have a work session yesterday, as it was the Memorial Day holiday.
So we have our consent agenda items, Mr. Chairman. Items A, B, and C. And Tom, I assume you're here. Do you have yours?
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve consent agenda items A, B, and C, and authorize the Chair Pro Tem's signature on whatever needs to be signed for those.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. What do we got? There you go, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We are here for our 11 o'clock accounting item. We have our accounting director, Dan Cernad, here to bring for our consideration and approval supplemental budget resolutions and forms for 2018. Dan, what have you got for us?
We have resolution 2019-018, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the building and plant pool capital budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock County, Colorado. Section 1, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the building and plant pool capital budget be increased $970,000 from $3,590,600 to $4,560,600 to fund the additional work completed on the combined law enforcement facility in 2018. Funding is available from the building and plant pool fund balance. We have Section 2, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the building and plant pool capital budget shall be increased $267,510 from $4,560,600 to $4,828,110 to fund the change in scope for the communication center and the combined law enforcement facility. Funding is available from the transfer from the communications pool.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 So you're going to do one resolution at a time?
Yeah.
Should I scratch out every one of these and sign my name?
I just sign it and yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, we have resolution 2019-019. A resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the communication pool budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock County, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the communication transfer budget shall be increased $267,510 from zero to $267,510 to fund the transfer to the building and plant pool for the work completed on the combined law enforcement facility communication center in 2018. Funding is available from the communication pool reserves.
So moved.
Well, wait a second. So which was the first one you did?
First one was
the 970.
That was
970,000.
Yeah.
And then the second one was
267. And that was both in the building and plant pool.
Okay. So, I'll second.
Yeah. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have did you sign this one? Did I say this one? Let's see. Where are we on?
I'm keeping them.
265. You got to sign that.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a resolution appropriating. We have resolution number 2019-020. A resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the motor pool capital budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the motor pool capital budget shall be increased $30,000 from $334,360 to $364,360 to fund the early replacement of the emergency management director's vehicle. Funding is available from motor pool reserves and insurance proceeds.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-021, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the West Route Library deficit budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the West Route Library District debt service budget be increased $200 from $559,730 to $59,930 for the increase in treasurer and trust fees. Funding is available from the West Route Library District reserves.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 29-022, a resolution appropriating additional funds in it. Additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budget in the general fund wildfire personnel and operations budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the general fund wildland fire personnel budget shall be increased $8,510 from zero to $8,510 to fund the personnel costs incurred as a result of suppressing the 2018 fires. Funding is available from unanticipated general fund sales tax collections. We also have Section 2, that the 2018 budget and appropriation in the General Fund Wildfire Operation Budget shall be increased $79,265 from $56,450 to $135,715 for the additional suppression costs incurred as a result of the 2018 wildfires. Funding is available from the 2018 fire reimbursement and the General Fund sales tax collections.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have a resolution. We have resolution number 2019-023, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money due to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund clerk's personnel budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners in the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the General Fund County personnel budget should be increased by $29,700 from $250,340 to $280,040 to fund additional personnel costs for unanticipated employee medical elections. Funding is available for unanticipated sales tax revenue in the General Fund.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-024, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund elections operations budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners in the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the General Fund Elections Operations Budget shall be increased $10,500 from $85,700 to $96,200 to fund the additional operation costs of printing due to changes in election mailings that require all ballots to be mailed to independent voters. Funding is available from the unanticipated sales tax revenue of the General Fund.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution number 29-025, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of the amount budgeted in the General Fund Board of County Commissioners operations budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Board of County Commissioners operations budget will increase by $40,000 from $173,200 to $213,200 on the additional operation costs for the purchase and implementation of priority-based budgeting program for Rock County. Funding is available from an Injury Impact Assistance Program grant, along with unanticipated sales tax revenue from the general fund.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 29-026, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the General Fund Geographical Information Systems personnel budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Geographical Information Systems personnel budget shall be increased by $11,600 from $312,010 to $323,610 to fund additional personnel costs due to an employee switching from single to family medical coverage. Funding is available from unanticipated sales tax revenue in the general fund.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-027, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund accounting operations budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Colorado that the 2018 budget appropriation for the general fund accounting operation budget shall be increased $21,075 from $84,925 to $106,000 to fund the non-capital ERP software implementation expense. Funding is available from unanticipated general fund sales tax revenue collection excess of the 2018 budget for sales tax.
So moved.
Okay, time out here a second. Second, I'll second that, but what number are we at here? 027?
Yep.
And it's the accounting supplemental budget, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the one before it was the GIS supplemental budget. Okay.
Yep.
Yep, thank you.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 I'm going by your list, so you skip the list.
What did I skip?
027?
We just did 027.
Okay. That's the commissioner's 027, right?
Nope.
That was the accounting
operations budget. It was number 27.
Commissioners.
So you did 18. Started with 18, right?
Yep, 18.
Yep.
And then what? 19. Communication, 20.
Yeah,
21.
West Route.
West Route, 22. then 23, right?
23, 82.
Oh, that was the one.
Oh, you did it all in one?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I'm off.
That's what it was. We had two sections there. Betsy, we've got
lost me too.
Resolution.
Revelation, huh?
Resolution 2019-028. A resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund emergency medical services personnel operations budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, Section 1, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the emergency medical services personnel budget shall be increased by $120 from $650 to $770 due to an increase in hours incurred during the year. Funding is available from the General Fund Emergency Medical Services Medical Reserve Balance. We have Section 2. That the 2018 budget appropriation for the emergency medical services operating budget shall be increased by $4,900 from $14,430 to $19,330 to maintain the inspecting and maintenance service contract for cardiac defibrillators. Funding is available from emergency medical service reserves, unanticipated fees, and unanticipated general fund sales tax in 2018. This is one that we ran out of reserves. This is typically just funded by fees and the reserves that they've collected over the years. We did go have to use the general fund sales tax. Now that might be something that you want to talk to Noel about.
Didn't we get money from that, from the state too?
That's what we used up. I mean, we never in the past used.
Did they quit sending us money?
No, what it appears to be is that, or what Mel is saying, that the price of doing these inspections and maintenance on their defibrillators and cardiac defibrillators has cost us more now, and it's gone beyond that. So I'm just suggesting, like, when we go and talk to them about the
the absolutely. Presentation.
That's a big increase.
It's not relatively, yes, okay, yeah, but it's just something that has always been funded from these fees, and this year it didn't actually work out that way.
You're right, we need to ask.
So we'll make sure that we get Mel scheduled, he will be scheduled, and then we can, actually we might want to do that ahead of time so that he can actually do something with the budget.
Right.
For next year in 2020.
I think that's a good idea.
Otherwise, we need to budget this new number.
Yeah, so that we're going to have something coming out of our money.
And why is it our responsibility?
I don't know. Apparently, it's been for some time.
Well, no, it became because state legislation happened on all this stuff. And then the state legislation that mandated these things also came with some money. Well, now this money is not enough to cover the state things.
How about that?
Go figure, yeah.
So we have a motion and a second.
Unfunded mandate.
We've had some discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-029, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund assessor's operations budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriated for the General Fund County Assessor's personnel budget shall be increased by $6,000 from $989,920 to $995,920 to fund the additional personnel costs due to budget spreadsheet error. Funding is available from the late filing revenue line item in the budget.
So moved. Discussion?
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 29-030, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the General Fund Board of County Commissioners personnel budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Board of County Commissioners personnel budget shall be increased $27,000 from $877,030 to $904,030 to fund the additional personnel costs from the wage calculation error. Funding is available from the purchasing/accounting consultant line item in the operations budget. The 2018 budget appropriation for the General Fund Board of County Commissioner operation budget shall be decreased $27,000 from $213,200 to $186,200.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-031, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund building and plant budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the general fund building and plant operations budget shall be increased $50,000 from $1,819,920 to $1,869,920 to fund the cost of the water mitigation project. Funding is available from insurance proceeds.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-032, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund developmental disabilities budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the general fund developmental disabilities of operation budget shall be increased by $6,865 from $1,164,660 to $1,171,525 to fund the distribution of additional property taxes to the community center board.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Yeah, resolution 2019-033, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund extension budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the general fund extension operation budget shall be increased $27,000 from $76,730 to $103,730 to fund the cost of the 2018 State Master Gardener Conference. Funding is available from the conference registration fees.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-034, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund fair operations budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the general fund fair operation budget shall be increased $18,300 from $232,200 to $261,581 to fund annual fair entertainment expenses in excess of amounts in excess of budget. Funding is available from entertainment revenues in excess of budget.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-035, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund human resources personnel budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners and the County of Rock.
Wait a second. Oh, okay. Now you're right. Sorry.
You're all good.
Yeah.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the general fund human resources personnel budget shall be increased $7,000 from $472,090 to $479,090 to fund an overage in personnel expenses due to the termination payout of approved vacation and sick for a long-term employee who retired. Funding is available from retirement plan forfeiture revenues in excess of the 2018 budget in the general fund human resources budget.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-036, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund motor vehicle operations budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the general fund motor vehicle operations budget shall be increased $8,240 from $28,970 to $37,210 to fund the additional operational cost due to increased postage and shipping costs that resulted from a change in state procedure, along with additional costs due to increased travel related to implementation and training for the new DRIVES program. Funding is available from unanticipated other income.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-037, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess amounts budgeted in the general fund motor vehicle personnel budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the general fund motor vehicle personnel budget shall be increased $12,505 from $405,040 to $417,545 to fund the additional personnel costs due to an unanticipated termination payoff for reasons. Funding is available for unanticipated motor vehicle city and county revenue collections in excess of the 2018 budget.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have a resolution 2019-038, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund public trustee operations and personnel budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for public trustee personnel budget will increase $500 from $32,470 to $32,970 due to an increase in the employee step and grade within the office. Funding is available from the advertising line item to an increase in foreclosure activity.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-039, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the general fund purchasing operations budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget appropriation for the general fund purchasing operations budget will increase $5,000 from $6,370 to $11,370 to fund the cost of new software used to research vendor pricing. Funding is available from the purchasing personnel budget due to the elimination of a 0.5 FTE full-time equivalent director position. 2018 budget and appropriation for the general fund purchasing personnel budget shall be decreased $5,000 from $224,540 to $219,540.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-040, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the Regional Building Department operation budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Colorado that the 2018 budget appropriation for the Regional Building Fund personnel budget shall be increased by $5,500 from $822,550 to $828,050 due to increased cost for administrative salary and employee retirement. Funding is available from underspending the operation budget in 2018. That the 2018 budget and appropriation for legal building fund operation budget shall be decreased by $5,500 from $415,125 to $409,625 due to less professional services being needed by outside inspectors.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 2019-041, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted and the health insurance operations budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 operations budget and appropriation in the health insurance pool shall be increased to $184,000. From $4,917,745 to $5,101,745 to fund actual claim expense in excess of budget. Funding is available from specific individual stop loss insurance revenue in excess of budget of $184,000.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 We have resolution 29-042, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to pay expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the communications fund. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2018 budget and appropriation for the 2018 General Fund Emergency Management Personnel Budget be decreased by $220,630 from $220,630 to zero, and that the 2018 budget appropriation for the General Fund Emergency management operation budget be decreased to $114,325 from $114,325 to zero to move the general fund emergency management budget in its entirety to the communications fund. Funding is available from the general fund property tax revenue projects. That the 2018 budget appropriations for the communication fund's personnel budget should be increased by $220,630 from $516,235 to $1,736,865, and that the 2018 budget appropriation for the communications fund operations budget be increased by $114,325 from $576,995 to $691,920 to move the general fund emergencies. Management budget is in its entirety of the communications fund. Funding is available from the general fund property tax revenue collections. Section 3, that the $218,000 or 2018 budget appropriation for the general fund transfer budget be increased $214,955 from $4,268,135 to $4,483,090 to fund the net general fund emergency management budget moved to the communications fund. Funding is available from the general fund property tax revenue collection.
So moved.
Second.
And, sorry.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 And then we have two supplemental budgets that were approved by the Board of County Commissioners in the past, in 2018. One being the Resolution 2018-087, General Fund Resolution appropriating additional funds, money to defray expenditures in excess amounts budgeted in the General Fund County Attorney's Operations Budget.
So before you go read all that, tell us what we're doing here.
Okay,
so
we had these are previously adopted and approved supplemental budgets
for 18
that were not properly advertised.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and redo them right now.
We're not redoing them; we're just recognizing.
Okay,
Dr. Eric, he said we just need to recognize them since they were already approved and what have you, and we just need to recognize that they were already approved and by the Board of County Commissioners, and they were advertised properly now.
Okay.
So I'm just reading the. We've got.
So what was the last one you had, by the way? 42?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we're not actually going to do a resolution here.
No.
It's not a resolution.
Okay. These are just that we're recognizing that these were advertised in the legal notice.
Okay.
So we got Resolution 2018-087, Resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the General Fund County Attorney Operations Budget, and we have Resolution 2018-018, Communication Fund Operations Budget, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to defray expenditures in excess of amounts budgeted in the Communication Fund Operations Budget. I don't know if we have to say anything more than that we recognize that they were formally advertised this time.
Very good.
I don't know any. I mean, if that's what Eric says we need to have, we could have a motion to ratify, but we don't have an agenda item to actually ratify that.
So, yeah, that's, I think we're fine.
Should just be a comment that these were, like Dan said, they were previously approved, but they weren't properly noticed. They have been properly noticed now.
Yeah.
Ex post facto and out of notification.
Yeah.
Well, they were in the agenda, but they weren't in the legal. So.
I see. Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Sounds good. Take
those from you. All right. So, come on up. We're here for our 1 o'clock item from the Rapid County Fairgrounds, a resolution designating an alcohol consumption area at the 2019 Route County Fair. It's Ray, it's up to you, but some introductions would be helpful.
Yeah, some introductions would be helpful. I'm Ray Dumoulin.
Josh Jones.
I'm Tim Corrigan.
Josh Jones.
Nice to meet you, Josh.
Nice to meet you, Jim. Nice
I'm Frank.
Frank Case. Nice to meet you, Frank.
I'm the recreation director.
Yeah, just pull up a pair or two. That's fine, Bill. Whatever.
And you, you're going to have to bring Helena up to speed with all the grandbabies.
Not now. Not now. So, Ray, what have you got for us?
I got Jill.
Or Jill, you've got Jill. Okay, great.
Sorry, I just ran up the
That's
stairs.
That's okay. You did well.
We are here with a resolution, if you guys agree, for a beer garden for the fair. An alcohol, what do we call it? Consumption area. Hayden Parks and Rec has done it a couple years for us. The fair board has approved it and recommended it that you guys move forward with it. And Eric has done the resolution. I'll let these guys tell you kind of what our plan is, but it'll be for Thursday night of the bonfire, which is our new event, in the outdoor arena. We've just got some live music all inside the outdoor arena, big bonfire, and then on Friday night for the demolition derby. And the change this year would be doing it in the outdoor arena for Thursday night, and on Friday night it would be the same as last year, right in front of the grandstands on the track, but we're adding the grandstands to the area because that's the biggest thing. People want to be able to, they're there with their family, dad wants to go down and grab a beer, go sit with his family, watch demolition derby. Those would be the two changes. And then Josh and Frank can explain how they work things.
They've got color maps. I want to see their maps.
Oh, yeah.
Red is Thursday night. Natural gating will keep that sealed in. And then this will be the Friday night event. We'll be stationed right here with one entry exit point. And then we'll have on the chutes, we'll have manned security on the entry exit for the grandstand.
So describe to me again, what's new this year that we haven't done in the past?
So in the past we had the bull riding. We're not having the, having the bull riding.
Correct.
That night, and so we're going to have what are you going to have, a bonfire?
It's just a big bonfire. So within the outdoor arena, and it's already all fully sponsored because we lost our butts on the bull riding last year. So it's just, we're going to have a big bonfire. Rogue Resources is donating the wood. We've got Cowboy Poets and a couple other musicians.
So you're going to have
a beer
platform
garden.
Cowboy Poets, where are they going to be at?
We're just going to be singing in the outdoor arena. We're just going to set them up. We can put them on plywood or something, but basically it's just going to be set up in the outdoor arena.
So you're not going to set them up on a flatbed trailer or something like that, either?
We can. We haven't got that far with logistics, or we've got our stage that we can pull out there.
Yep.
And then just have a bonfire. We're going to set up a big sandbox for the kids so the parents can come. I think Royalty's going to do some dessert for them. We just, from 7 to 11, we'll do a Cowboy Poet, and then music. And it's just a place for people to hang out. It's free because Mountain Valley Bank is paying for everything. And then just the beer garden. Something simple.
It would be contained inside the arena. Nobody would go in or out.
Mm-hmm.
During that night.
Yep, night. And then the next night it's the blue.
The demolition derby. The one here.
Yep, so the alcohol will be contained in the blue area the second night.
Yep.
What kind of concerns did the fair board have? Or did they express any concerns?
You know, they're actually getting more comfortable with it, especially with these guys, because, you know, they've done it the last few years. In fact, they're the ones that are, you either do it both nights or we don't want you to come do it at all, because it's one of the biggest requests that we get, quite honestly. And talking to law enforcement and all of our post-fair briefings, the only issues they have with alcohol are people that either brought it themselves or show up already intoxicated. But we've never had issues with the beer garden.
We never have?
No.
I vaguely recall 3 or 4 years ago hearing some, I just can't remember exactly what.
That was probably when the guy was in the multi-purpose building kicking the pigs, and we had to stop the demolition derby. Was that one? The ambulance had to stop. We had to stop the whole show for 30 minutes because this guy couldn't stand up. But that had nothing to do with the beer garden.
Maybe that's what I'm...
Had the big controversy when we were moving forward with allowing beer
in the first place.
Right.
Right.
Our entire board is alcohol server training certified. We took care of that a couple months ago. We only had to kick one person out last year. So everyone pretty much minds their manners. But he came in pretty loaded on his own.
And you guys use this as a fundraiser for your activities this summer?
It goes back into the recreation department to offset the cost of running the program for the department.
Town aid.
Correct.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I don't have any more questions. Sounds like you guys got it under control. That's what I want to hear.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve Resolution 2019-043, a resolution of Rock County Board of Commissioners, Rock County, Colorado, designating an alcohol consumption area for 2019 Rock County Fair, pursuant to Resolution 2010-044.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Nice to
have you. Yeah, fine. Thank you.
Do you want to keep this renovation?
No, that's fine. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you guys.
Nice meeting you guys.
See you.
Good luck.
Thank you. I'm Josh Jones.
Dan.
Josh Jones.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
So, why do you take?
Oh, yeah, let me finish signing it.
So, grandbaby number two got here 3 weeks ago, and I'm officially on watch for number three. Any minute, you're driving to Rapid City.
She just feels she's just out of the loop.
Oh yeah. First one just turned two. Now I got a 3 week old one, and then
mm-hmm. Will you take it down and get it at the test?
Yes.
So and you'll get a copy of this. Helena?
Yep. Okay. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Thank you.
So we have some private irrigation infrastructure in the public right-of-way.
Request for it, yes. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm here before you to for consideration of approval or revoke the license agreement for the installation and maintenance of a private irrigation system. In the public right-of-way, landowners requested permission to install an inch-and-a-half water line under the right-of-way of County Road 44 to connect to a water source to his home site across the road. As you can see from the map that I've shown you, this is his current property location, and he has this sort of access width all the way down, and then the Elk River sits south there. So he would like to supplement his agricultural water here with his water right from the Elk River to be able to install a water line under the right-of-way. We've done this in the past under a revocable license agreement for landowners whose property is bisected by a county road.
We did one on County Road 11 a few years ago.
We've allowed oil and gas to run pipelines through culverts or install pipelines across the county road. We've already received a work in the right-of-way and a utility permit for this, and we drew up our revocable license agreement with the property owner that's been reviewed by the legal department. I made changes per Eric's comments, and then it's also been signed by the property owner as well.
And there's not a way that we can be liable for damaging this if we're doing more?
No, that's all what the revocable license agreement's for. They'll mark it, they'll show us where it's at, and they plan on burying it at least 7 to 10 feet deep, which is...
10 feet
deep. Yeah, 10 on the revocable.
10 feet deep, really?
10 feet deep, and like Mike said, they have delineators on either side, doing the alignment plus the depth.
So yeah, water pressure enough to push it through that?
Well, it's going to be pumped from the river. So
it's all under pressure.
Pump, yeah.
Oh.
So I didn't understand. Was this for household water or is this lifestyle water?
Livestock.
So it's pumping straight out of the river? Huh. So, yeah, we've done this in the past. In fact, we got into a big battle with one of the private landowners up on 44B. About the that goes all the way over the mountain and over to 52. They just thought that they were just going to put the water line because utilities are most time allowed to put their utilities in our right of way, mm-hmm. But this wasn't a public utility,
right.
So there's a difference between being a public utility and then private utilities.
They're going to take the road up to put it in closer.
And we'll be on top of the watch to make sure everything goes back.
The way it's supposed to.
As it's supposed to.
Now, the one thing, and I don't want to muddy the water too much, but, and I can check with Sue real quick, terms and conditions, item number 3 says the licensee shall provide the county with evidence of coverage, meaning that the licensee shall at all times maintain homeowner's insurance and shall cause the county to be named as additional insured. It says we'll receive a copy of that certificate of insurance
and we'll
before
get that
it's sold. I mean, before it's signed.
Right.
I mean, specifically
oh,
it says that.
Before this, yeah. I'll get a copy of that. And then at the homeowner's insurance, it was before it was the liability insurance waiver, and Eric changed it to the homeowner's insurance.
Yeah.
So are they going to be continuing them to send us the copy of their annual insurance?
They're supposed to.
Yeah,
supposed to, yeah.
Well, it says they'll give us the initial one, actually before the agreement signed by the board, and then at any other time upon request by the county. So I can check with Sue real quick if we got a copy.
I doubt that we have.
Yeah.
So we could
GMC was out there.
Yeah, and I imagine it would have shown up with him, with Nate, when he signed and dropped off.
So we can approve the chairperson's signature contingent upon she could sign this next week or something.
Sure. Well, we can sign it right now and let them they hold it.
And then oh, hold okay. it, not, not right. allow them to do it until we get our
certificate. Okay.
Yeah, I think we ought to do that.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't know. My computer's not working real happily either, but I would move that we approve and authorize the Chair Pro Tem's signature on a revocable license agreement for installation and maintenance of a private irrigation infrastructure in the public right of way.
Second.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. There you go.
Thank you.
Isn't it revocable? So, we have a hearing for Young's Peak.
No, this is Middle Creek.
What are we doing?
I thought Middle Creek was first.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Middle Creek. I'm a little bit behind here. Middle Creek.
This is for Middle Creek Guest Ranch, PL 18205. Middle Creek has been in operation as a small guest ranch since 2016. They had a special use permit at that time. And a number of their amenities were non-motorized. So they have come in to request an amendment to their special use permit to add, well, first they had, they originally had a shooting range, trails for horseback and bicycle riding, hiking, cross-country skiing, and snowshoeing. They also did fishing on Middle Creek, hunting, and I'm not sure exactly what all of their hunting operations, I'm assuming it was elk and deer, snow tubing, so they had a designated hill for the snow tubing, and guests were limited to 8 clients at one time at various times of the year, so there was no set. They could come every single weekend if they wanted to do that, 8 clients. And they have come in to ask
Say that part again.
I mean, well, they would have 8, you could have 8 clients come in, use the facilities, and it would be year-round. I guess that's a better way to phrase it.
Okay.
So they've come in to ask for an amendment. So one of it is that they had 9,000 acres as part of their first permit, and they are increasing that to 10,000 acres. They want to add an archery range for their clients, ATV and snowmobile tours. So those are 2 motorized tours that they want to add. A swimming hole, and that's a designated area that's been fenced off so the livestock doesn't get in it. And they have picnic tables around a deep area of Middle Creek that they use. And that they also want to add fishing on their parcel known as the Trout Creek parcel, and I can show you a map of that, or it's also included in their packet of information. They are changing the guests, how they're coming in and using the facility. So instead of 8, they're going to have up to 20 guests come for only a total of 8 weeks out of the year.
So previously they were eligible to have guests 52 weeks out of the year?
Mm-hmm. So they've really reduced that. And then to clarify that, they group at one time, up to 20 guests, one grouping. So it's more for like an entire family retreat or something like that to use the guest
to use the ranch. So 8 weeks total per year. The rest of the time, the family uses it for personal use and their private guests.
And it would be any 8 weeks out of the 52.
Exactly. So if they wanted a springtime or a winter when they come in and go snowmobiling, or maybe there's a group that wants to go hunting, a total of 8 weeks per year. There's 6 employees that come from May to October, and they live at the ranch. They do have the facilities to accommodate them. And there are 2 full-time employees the remainder of the year. We received letters from the DPW, and we've included the change of conditions from the DPW. We also had letters from Environmental Health and Building Department, but it didn't change any of the conditions from those letters. The Road and Bridge also commented, but they didn't have anything that would affect the permit, so I didn't include those comments in the staff report. The conditions that were changed were, and I know you can scroll down in your staff report to the Planning Commission conditions, and they were bolded, and that's on page...
They were bolded in the minutes from the...
In the staff report, sorry.
Oh, okay.
In the staff report. So that started on the staff report on page 9. And we just added the archery, the ATV tours, the snowmobile tours, swimming. And they accepted that. And there was the amendments for the DPW. So we changed the wildlife concerns and conditions. And then we changed the amount of clients. So we took out the 8, put in the 20, and the 8 weeks per year. So those were the only changes that were done.
That and the changes, potential changes of use.
Yes.
Uses.
Yes.
And this is all up what used to be County Road 31.
Is County Road 27, 20 Mile Road?
Yeah, but, I mean, the entrance into the ranch is, what used to be County Road 31 that we vacated a few years ago.
Rimrock, they vacated. It only went to the ranch.
Right.
It completely, they owned all of it on both sides.
Well,
so we did vacate that road.
We had an argument about that, too, but... Yeah, it went to the ranch.
Yeah, we vacated
somebody
the entire.
The only county went all the way around over the top of the hill too. So anyhow,
but the only county road they're going to be impacting is the paved road.
Yes.
So where's the Trout Creek parcel then?
The Trout Creek parcel.
And then, so it's kind of I assume that's straight across from where the Rimrock Lane leaves County Road 27. Is that the parcel there that has the cabin on?
This is all Middle Creek Ranch. This is County Road 27 through the ranch.
Yeah.
This is the Trout Creek parcel here.
Oh, okay.
So it's on County Road 29.
So this is included in the...
Mm-hmm. They're including that for fishing only.
Okay. And that's part of the amendment, is adding this piece.
Yes.
So we will have a little bit of impact on 29.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we don't want to have any parking on County Road 27 for sure.
No, there is no parking. They drive into the ranch. They park at the in the front of that picture. That's the ranch manager's home in the barn.
Yeah.
And then up behind there, you can see the houses. That's where they stay. Is up above there.
None of which is visible from 27, is it?
You can't see any of it from 27. It's a long ways back there.
So were all of these 20 people eligible to go up there in their own cars? Did we talk about that at Planning Commission or anything?
They are assuming that they will all arrive as a group or individual cars. There's plenty of parking up there. If for some reason they travel to Steamboat or to the airport and need a ride, the manager said that they would pick him up, but they're not providing shuttle service.
Shuttle service, yeah. And then, so the other question, and Linda, maybe this is your question, but so we have some sales tax license requirements on some of this stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the conditions.
So is there a condition? I didn't see it. Proof of the...
I guess the question I would have had along those lines, is that sales tax information enough for you to be able to monitor the actual usage by looking at the dates that the sales tax are collected for you to be able to determine that they're not going?
They're not privy to get it.
Right, we don't get
So that. How do you monitor the Do they provide a report every year saying these are the 8 weeks that we had guests?
Tim, I'm not involved with the tax information. It's up to them to do that reporting.
Well, I'm talking about, forget about the sales tax information. Oh. Will they provide reports to the planning department so that you can ensure that they're within compliance of their 8 weeks per year?
Yeah, that's kind of a question I had here regarding the change and how it's been changed now and self-reporting. Yeah, so you do have here the sales tax. Prior to the occupation permit, he shows them that to Route County proof of sales tax account-wise.
Yeah, that's number seven.
I'm good with that. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
So, but back to the question that Tim's working on here. Are they going to have an annual report that they send us?
We have not required that, but we can certainly add that as a condition if you would like to do that.
I think it seems like a good idea. Otherwise, how would we ever know?
We wouldn't.
And it's not like we're going to run out there and see who's driving in and out from time to time. I guess I'd like to see a report.
So we can, on that condition 15 that was in your packet there, we could just add something like the, you know, annual report shall be submitted. And is that going to be a problem?
I don't think so. What kind of information would you want
just
in the report?
Number of guests and the nights.
And the dates that they were there.
Okay.
Yeah. Should be simple.
Seems to me that we just have 8 line items, you know, this particular week.
Okay, number of guests.
So an annual report shall be permitted showing number of guests.
And dates.
And dates.
And when do you want that? Like a year from the date of the permit or starting like January 1st?
January 1st.
January 1st of each year.
I mean, it's easier
for
to
the
follow
previous
up
year.
For the annual, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean,
yeah,
now,
give yourself to the end of January 1st for the preceding year.
Okay.
January 31st.
January 31st for the preceding year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a problem at all.
Okay. And I think it can be a real simple one pager.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, Chad?
Okay.
You have any other questions?
I don't have any more questions for staff. Do you have any comments?
No, I think Eckert's must be doing really well and good operation. We don't have. You don't even know it's up there, so it's great. So, you know, and I guess people would continue to like to be able to use it. So.
I have one comment on in the general conditions where it says Fish Creek. Isn't that Trout Creek?
Oh, and the Trout Creek parcel.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just noticed that,
I've
looked at it many times.
What condition is that?
That's, let's see, that's 2C.
Yeah, and, okay. Yes. It'd be kind of difficult to.
So, which condition were we adding?
Condition number 2C.
No, I got that.
Okay.
Which one were we going to add the report, my yearly report?
We can add 15. The yearly report to number 17
or 15.
I thought you wanted it to with the sales tax.
No, I think I'm just going to have
with 15?
15, yeah.
Okay.
And I was just looking for sales tax just to, that it was in there, so that is 17. So, yeah, I'm good.
So we can say an annual report shall be submitted and show a number of guests and dates of stays to be submitted January 31st for every year for the preceding year.
Yep.
Okay.
When we get ready to do that.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm just going to make a quick comment. I think it's I'm actually gratified that they're going to be limiting use to 8 weeks out of the year. And I'm perfectly comfortable with the additional number of guests in light of that. And I really, I'm always appreciative of when we include the conditions of approval from CPW addressing wildlife concerns. So glad that's all taking place.
We don't have big game drives with snowmobiles. Is that a problem?
One would assume that they're complying with all of CPW's rules and regulations.
I would think so, yeah. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the amendment to the SUP.
This would be SCP PL18-205. I move with the that approve that SCP with the findings of fact that the proposal with the following conditions meets the applicable guidelines of the Ralph County Master Plan, is in compliance with sections 4, 5, and 6 of the Ralph County Zoning Regulations. Approval subject to the following conditions. Condition 1 is written. Condition 2 to change on 2C to be in the Trout Creek parcel. Conditions 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Specific conditions 14, 15 will be changed. We'll include what it says and then add on the section that for the annual reporting that we'll get the wording for. Annual reporting being submitted to the planning department. Specific conditions 16 through 21, the Division of Wildlife conditions 22 through 27, Road and Bridge conditions 28 through 32.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you. I guess we had no public comment. Is that...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, they're for the...
Okay. I'm chairman pro tem, so I'm a little out of practice here. Commissioner Melton was here. I'm sure she would not
have... I have a lot to say, but I guess I missed my chance.
Okay, well, enjoy the weather.
Yep.
We are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Come on up.
Tom, nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you again. It's been a long time.
Mike, Jim, I think how are you?
Good to see you, Mr. Ron.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mike, good to see you. So we are here for our consideration. I've got the wrong one here. Give me a minute. Consideration of PL 16-66. Young's Peak Preserve for a rezoning and a preliminary subdivision plan. Christy, what have you got for us?
So I was just going to do a brief overview of how we got here, and then Tom has a great presentation to do the overview and the details of the application. So as you said, the request is for a change of zone from HDR to MRE and to create 8 residential lots. This application got approval for sketch back in October 14th of 2014.
The application, I recall that.
It's quite some time. The application for preliminary plat and this application was originally scheduled back in 2017, but right before or right after this was scheduled, the applicant had to go back and sort out some comments from Division of Water Resources having to do with well permits, which they have since worked out, and Tom will get into those details. This application was rescheduled with Planning Commission on May 16th, where Planning Commission recommended approval 5-0 with a 5-0 vote. Planning Commission also supported added conditions of approval number 18 and 19, which were recommended in addition to previous comments and COAs by Oak Creek Fire District. Those are mainly surrounding additional mitigation measures for fire suppression, as well as Planning Commission recommended condition number 20, which had to do with interior fencing of lots, as per recommendation of CPW. There was a concern that that language was not in the draft wildlife mitigation plan, but speaking with both Tom and Mike, we'll make sure that that gets into the wildlife mitigation There is already a condition of approval that they get approval for their wildlife mitigation through CPW. This is just an added layer.
So before you leave this thing here, so when the sketch approval was approved,
we
approved it, and then it went to, we were getting ready to do the preliminary plat.
Correct.
And since that had the problems with DWR, that whole thing went away then.
The approvals were still valid. They maintained their approvals. They met, they asked for an extension on
their sketch. Okay, so that's what you're answering my question.
Yes.
Thank you. So we're not starting back scratching.
We are not.
Yet.
Nope. This is a continuation.
Okay.
We just had a long delay.
And we're all fine with that, too, Tom.
Long is relative.
I just want to make sure I understand where we're at in the process.
Correct.
So we've got an approved sketch plan
that's
been approved, and now this is the second part of that.
That's right.
Which is the approval, in essence, by Planning Commission and ourselves of the preliminary plat and the change of zone.
That is correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Understand. Okay.
Okay. And just a brief overview of the future land use map, which I don't believe Tom will be covering. The designation for the property, which is here, is for large lot residential, which is for 5-acre development. If there is no central sewage collection systems, or
what did you say the current zoning is?
The current zoning is high density residential.
But was it
their
large lot residential is a designation of the Stagecoach Committee.
That's correct. Which this is following. And that's for 5-acre development essentially when there's no infrastructure.
So is there a difference between large lot residential and mountain residential estates?
So mountain residential estates is an actual zone district,
right?
In our regulations. This is
just a phrase.
Yes, it's a recommendation for development in the community plan,
which is in essence the same.
It mirrors
MRA.
Correct. That is correct. I pulled out some policies of the Stagecoach
ask
community
another
plan.
Question then too.
Yes.
So this isn't a PUD. This is an application for a subdivision.
That is correct.
It's not a PUD.
It is not a PUD.
Makes you feel better about it?
No, not either way. I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
A subdivision and a rezoning.
Are you...
And a rezoning.
And a rezoning. Were you referring to something on this map?
No.
Okay.
Well, he kind of queried me a little bit when talking about the HDR and LDR. And the current zoning is what?
HDR.
High density residential.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And so by zoning it back into, what are you calling it now? It's not MRE? MRE?
Well, no. It is MRE as per our zoning.
Which is a downzoning.
Regulations. It is a downzoning, which
right.
supports
okay.
the plan, which says...
Again, I just want to get that out of my brain here.
It was kind of odd to me, I guess, thinking about the Stagecoach plan, is why do we have yet another phrase called, what did you call it?
It's large lot residential designation. It's the same as what they designated this ski area piece, which would be resort recreational mixed use. This property. So these are all recommendations in the Stagecoach Community Plan.
And there's a definition for large lot residential?
That's correct. And that's essentially the first check there.
I'm not picking on Rock County at all because everyone does it this way. I don't know why planners can't use the same terminology.
I thought it was my question.
You got your zoning that says mountain rural estates.
Right.
It's 5 acres. You've got this terminology about large lot, whatever.
It's confusing.
Why not use the same words? And nobody...
We did run into the same issue, if you recall, with the piece on Puenta, where the area plan also has the same kind of designation, and it was very confusing when we went through that process as well.
That's fine. I think we're savvy enough to be able to dissect this.
Okay. So just to point out some policies that the proposal you'll hear about is in compliance with, the Stagecoach Community Plan supports rezoning of high-density lands to lower density, and that's to allow for on-site wastewater treatment systems, which is the minimum 5 acres. Also, the plan states that preservation of open space and limited density development should be encouraged in areas that lack infrastructure. There is no infrastructure to this site at the moment. I believe they can't. There is infrastructure along County Road 212, which they'll get into. Also, the plan states where development has already taken place, specifically areas in the north where this site is located, that infill development should fit in with the existing pattern of development, which would be 5-acre zoning. So going back to the map, that would support here is Young's Peak Estates. Do you have to have the same name for
both? Young's Creek.
And then also over here is Lynn's Basin. So those are both 5-acre developments. And last, the plan supports a system of non-motorized trails to be developed to link to various recreational amenities throughout Stagecoach and open spaces. And again, they'll get into that a little more as part of Tom's presentation. So I will just switch over to his. And
I just have a quick question while you're doing that. You talk about there's no skylining taking place. Is Stagecoach covered by the skyline?
It is.
Yes.
It is.
It is. So, there you go.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back here again. Tom Braun, Braun Associates, representing Mike Roach and Young's Peak Preserves. I'm going to be fairly brief today for a couple reasons. Number one is I think the project is pretty straightforward. And number two, I think Christy and her staff report has done a great job of capturing the things that you need to be thinking about as you respond to this application. Talk a little bit about where we're at in the county process, a little bit of the background, what it is Mike and his family's goals are for this property. It's maybe a little different from a typical real estate development deal. Some highlights of the project, and we'll talk about the conditions of approval. We started with pre-application conferences back a long time ago. Sketch plan was in 2014. And in 2017, we submitted this application, which was for the preliminary plan subdivision and the rezoning from whatever those terms are. We just spent 5 minutes trying to figure out what they meant from high-density residential to the 5-acre zoning. Number of reasons contributed to us to taking like 18 or so months to finally get back in front of you. A lot of it had to do with Division of Water Resources and getting clear on just how they were going to respond to Mike's request and how we were handling the water.
It's better to that we didn't try to figure that out after we approved the subdivision. We all looked like we were pretty ignorant. So
it's clear as mud.
We still might, but we'll do it on our own.
Well, at least we got a letter that says something, so we're good.
So this time around, then after this process, it'll be final plat, and then Mike will be able to move on with this project. Christy provided you with some context. We've got smaller lot, half-acre lots to us to the northeast of Mike's property. You see where the aerial photo is in full bloom. There is actually most of it. Here's a subject property, the 80 acres of Young's Peak Preserve. Mike did Young's Creek Estates, a 4-lot, 5-acre subdivision, 10 years ago, Mike?
20.
Who's counting?
Just like yesterday.
And then we got 3- and 5-acre lots off to our the east and south of the property. So we're kind of right in between established residential neighborhoods. Christy talked about the zoning. It does allow for ungodly amounts of density if you wanted to go in there and try to cram it in there. We did watch closely what was going on this last year or so when someone was taking a run at Stagecoach to see what might happen there. My guess would be this area was zoned high density because the village was contemplated to be right across the street. That all went away, and we're here back to talk about the down zoning. But that high density was out there. It just frankly wasn't in the cards with what Mike wanted to do with the land. There are two main features of the property. One is, of course, Young's Peak itself. The other is this broad, flat terrace that you see right here, looking back to the north, back to Steamboat Lake. You see right on the right-hand side there, where the yellow grasses end, is Mike's home. So they developed these 4 lots. This 80 acres is on the market. In some respects, they purchased it to protect it. They don't have a problem with some limited development on the property, but if it was going to be developed, they wanted to do it and not be at the whims of somebody else coming in and trying to shoehorn a bunch more units on the property.
So where's Mike's house again? Is that the one to the right?
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay, yep.
So as we looked at this, Mike's objective was to limit the amount of development. We're doing 8 homes. Home sites, zoning could allow us at 5 per acre up to twice that. But we felt that 8 is what fit, 8 is what worked with the land. And so preserving Young's Peak and doing a reasonable amount of development is what Mike really wanted to accomplish. So if that is a goal, what did we do? You know, we looked at the land. We looked at steep slopes. They're depicted here in orange. We had wetland studies, soil geotech studies done, wildlife studies. That crosshatching you see is from the countywide information about potential ridgeline conditions. That's a real broad brush that the county looked at the entire thousands of acres, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres. It's very generalized. Where we looked closely at ridgeline was not so much over here because we weren't going to plunk a home on the top of Young's Peak, but rather in this area. And through evaluation and staking the envelopes and having the staff out there, every home that you will see from one of the county roads has a backdrop of land behind it. So we don't cross that threshold of having the homes be skyline. So that was reviewed pretty exhaustively at sketch plan, actually. So with that site analysis, coupled with Mike's goals, we said, what do we do? And here is our development plan. The feature focal point is the 28-acre open space, that kind of rectangle in the lower left-hand corner. That encompasses Young's Peak. And then we have 8 lots that basically are clustered on the east side of the property. We don't show building envelopes, rather we're
so showing... So Young's Peak, again, is the...
Right there.
Okay.
And this line, Doug, kind of depicts where the more dense tree massing is, the dark timber. This color is more just the sage and open meadows,
uh-huh,
and that sort of thing. So all of the home sites are in this location. That terrace, the first photo, 2 photos I showed you, Mike's home is sitting, you're right here, Mike, right?
Mm-hmm.
That terrace is all running right through here. And the drain gets a little funky, it drops down here, comes back to another terrace on the south end. One of the key factors with the site plan is you see 2 points of access. We've got a driveway, shared drive coming off here to serve lots 7 and 8, and then a common road coming off of the Young's Creek Estates access point that wraps up and around and gets to this point. We did want to connect the dots because here the terrain just gets a little bit varied and hilly and that sort of thing, and we felt there was going to be too much site disturbance by continuing one single road, so we split it, brought 2 in off this side and 6 in off from the north. And the 4-lot subdivision is totally on board with that. We've got agreements with them to share their drive, and we're going to work together on trash and all sorts of things there. It's very convenient that Mike did that subdivision as well.
And the density is not enough there for the forest, I mean, the fire department to require double access?
They are fine with our points of access.
The single access, yep. and then the cul-de-sac at the top?
Yep. And we've got a couple of sections of our main road that get to 10%, a very modest area amount, but in that condition, the county defers to fire, and the fire said we're good with it. We'll talk more about the fire in just a second.
Okay.
So there you see, you know, those where all the home sites are clustered on the property. We tried to give everyone enough room where they have some elbow room between themselves, yet they're not spread out like Mirabu's, for example. They've all got good access off the common drive. They've all got good flat terrain to build on. So as you look at this project, the kind of things that I look at, the kind of things that I think you should be looking at, and staff certainly has, you know, is a site buildable. And you've got a process in your code that obligates the applicant to do studies and demonstrate that it is, and we've done that. Sensitive site design, we believe we've been responsible with the land, and we're putting the development where it belongs, not forcing it into steep slopes or places where maybe it is not as properly located. Huge down zoning from what the current zoning is. Very important, we're, I think, extremely consistent with our sketch plan. What we showed you 2 years ago, which now you don't remember, so maybe it's irrelevant, but but we're backing up. What we showed you before is what we're doing now in virtually every respect. More importantly, we're consistent with the master plan, and we're in compliance with the development standards. You know, there's a couple of those with the roads. I think, you know, we're not doing curb and gutter, that kind of thing. But all the major development standards we're hitting. And, you know, it's not just me telling you this. If you review Christie's memo, staff, I think, is saying right down the line the same thing in their evaluation of Mike's project. Conditions of approval, you look at that and you see 20, I mean, you might think, oh my gosh, this project isn't very well thought out, but the vast majority of those are standard conditions that you apply to any preliminary plat, things to be caught and corrected or refined, if you will, at final plat. We've got no issues with any of the conditions. Just to clarify a couple of them with the water, Christie said that I'm going to explain in detail the water situation. The last thing I'm going to do is talk about water rights in Colorado in detail. That's for people like Melinda who just left. But the long and short of it was that there was some uncertainty about how we were going to provide augmentation water. Mike is able to buy a contract, enter into a contract with the Yampa Water Conservancy District. They've indicated that they will offer Mike a contract. The state has indicated in the email that we passed on to Christie that they see no issues whatsoever with issuing well permits once Mike enters into that contract. So after a lot of confusion and missteps, the water thing tended to work itself out. We are in Morrison Creek Metro. We could extend the water system, but this density just makes no financial sense for Mike to do so. The defensible space and vegetation management, this was a condition that I'm forgetting the fire marshal's name right now, but Chuck provided an email actually the day of our planning commission hearing, and most of what he asked for, Mike's already doing. They wanted the brush hog of the roads annually. Mike's already got a brush hog on site. He does that already. He's got a forestry management permit on his timber lands, and he's already been defending for many years, standing dead and deadfall, that sort of thing. Chuck wants the homes to comply with the Colorado State University wildfire mitigation measures, which we have no problems with those parameters whatsoever. Wildlife, we worked through with Libby at Colorado Parks and Wildlife a draft of a mitigation plan, and then we let it idle because, as per your codes, that's not to be finalized until final plat. And I think why it is deferred to file, yet talked about at preliminary, is we want to make sure that whatever impacts there might be can be mitigatable, or can be mitigated. And Libby has indicated that they can. We're talking about, I think, two last things and a couple of details, just how we're going to handle our trash, individual cans or a separate central facility, those kind of things. We're talking about a trail closure on some internal walking trails within the community Mike's going to create. Seasonal closures in the wintertime for elk on the south side of Young's Peak. So we'll work out those details. The Planning Commission asked a great question. They asked about fencing. The mitigation plan did not address fencing. But in our last correspondence with Libby, one of her things, number two, fencing. Libby asked that there be no perimeter fencing, and anything around the envelopes is fine, but it needs to be wildlife friendly. So we'll catch all those things with the final mitigation plan that you will see as a part of the final.
So read that again. What did she say?
This was correspondence from Mike's consultant after he met with Libby.
Uh-huh.
And it said, fencing. Libby requests that there be no perimeter fencing around the perimeter of the 80 acres. But fencing would be fine within the envelope. There's a website link for wildlife-friendly fencing on this department's website, and that's what we'll indicate in our mitigation plan. So any fencing at all will be tight to the homes, if you will, and be wildlife-friendly as per the divisions.
So you'll be unable to fence cattle out.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
there is fencing in place, so I don't think she would say that.
So long as
he might have missed. That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right to me.
I went through the whole fencing, and in my Young's Creek covenants, I have a picture of, because they want the spacing for the younger elk to get under the fence, and then we did fence the west property line with those standards. So
and wildlife friendly fencing to keep the cows up.
Sure, right? And then there's existing fencing with links base, and that's the old barbed wire fencing. And
yeah, I mean, you'll have the opportunity to work that out with CPW.
With the final mitigation plan.
And we discussed
that. I agree with you. It seems to me you have to be able to fence the perimeter of the property as long as it's wildlife friendly.
That seems like...
So, yeah, we'll have a bunch of... Keep going, then. A bunch of questions here. So
okay.
Keep going.
I'm very, very near done. The last one has to do with the public lands dedication. We're meeting our open space requirement by a factor of, I don't know, 3 or 4. But the county code talks about a 5% dedication. At sketch plan, you guys told us you didn't want 5% of our land, which we appreciate, but cash in lieu instead of that. And what we'll talk, and this is, again, another final plat provision, but we're going to come back to you and talk to you about maybe a middle ground there. Mike's been working with his neighbors off to the northeast, and what this diagram shows are in red existing Young's Peak trails, or neighborhood trails, and we've also got some Spola trails off in this area. What Mike would like to do is provide a trail on his property that would allow, these are all kind of down low in the flatlands. And you get up here on this hillside, and you saw the view there from one of those site photos, it's really nice. And in Mike's working with Spola, we'd like to help them create a loop so they could come around through here, get up high, so they're looking at the lake, and drop back down, tie into an existing trail out to 212 if they like, or loop back into their system. They've got funding set aside for this connection right here. So Mike's been working with them on kind of a neighborhood-wide trail, whereby they have access, we apply an easement dedicated to the public, and can construct this trail connection off through here in conjunction with this pole. And so in lieu of 100% cash, in lieu of land dedication, and final plat, we'll talk to you about what that means and the cost and land involved, and in fact, try to factor that into the conversation of how we meet your 5% public land dedication. We haven't brought them in at this meeting, but there is, I think, safe to say, a lot of support amongst the neighborhood out there.
So who owns the open space parcel that's going to be left?
That will be, your code requires that to be, I believe, HOA. Transferred to the HOA.
HOA, okay. And again, I just want to make sure we get a couple of those questions out. So, okay.
Who has access to these trails? The property owners or anybody in Spola?
Mike will have his own internal trail system for his owners.
Right.
This would be dedicated to the public.
And again, I think that's all the specifics that we need to get ironed out. I mean,
that's a final plan.
Exactly. Yeah. And if we're giving you credit for it, whatever, making sure that the public can benefit from it and not be, and so is, not is be the, trespassed.
Is the public the public at large or just people that live at Stagecoach?
I don't know how Spoa. The new trail that's on the bottom of Young's Peak, that purple trail, is the newest trail that they've built. And there is a sign there that says it's a Spoa trail and your dog should be leashed. But I don't know. I mean, you have the Spoa trail, and then the red trails are all the neighborhood at Young's Peak. And then it goes into Blacktail.
I would hope that they're public and they don't say they're just for their owners. But
I mean, I don't think that Spoa sign says for Spoa only. I mean, I don't know how.
I've been on that. So what does public mean?
What was that?
What's the definition of a public site? I mean, we know that it could be a school site or a...
Well, for right now on this, approving it, we're going to make it what we want to make it. So I guess it's going to be open to the public.
As long as we... Yeah, the public.
The public.
Writ large.
Other than his internal trails that...
I mean, is that...
Those would be private internal homeowner association trails.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I'm trying to think, is it Coyote Run where they have that little pocket park right there? Was that created through a public site dedication at subdivision?
No, that was part of just the open lands percentage for the neighborhood.
I was on that Young's Peak trail last fall, and there was no signs that restricted the use, saying it was only Well, so it didn't say it was open to the public, but
yeah.
No signs restricting.
Yeah.
So I'm just cautioning you that we need to ensure that that's the case.
And when we
yeah. that it's truly public.
And we can do that between us, and that plaque can be
yep.
say it's to the public, but we can't control is how SWOA manages.
No, that would be a problem if that yellow dotted line is going to be your dedication, and you could say that it's open to the public, but SWOA could somehow restrict anybody's access to what we're calling public, rendering it not public.
So we'll maybe have a conversation with SWOA.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're going to also find out in the neighborhoods of Young's Peak when those red lines were dedicated.
What the terms were with those, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let's just make sure that if it's public, it's truly public. And on all of them.
That is all I've got to share with you today. Between Mike and I and Christy, hopefully we can answer any questions that you might have.
So I got a couple of quick ones. So you're gonna each lot will have its own well,
yes.
Or it's not going to be a community well system.
Not that doesn't necessarily mean that they could have one well drilled, fill two houses, and get a one permit. He would still have to get the same augmentation plan per house.
But
so
if there's
they any, have there's one well serve three houses even, and you still have to have an augmentation.
So if you have eight individual wells, does that mean there has to be eight augmentation plans? I'm just curious.
Every lot will need its own augmentation plan for indoor and outdoor use.
Right.
I thought we were going to be able to get the indoor use.
Right, I recall that.
But that wasn't the case.
It's probably better that, you know, that people have the ability to use their water outside.
Yeah.
I'm taking it that the reason you decided to do your own wells and septic systems, it was just cost prohibitive to
yes.
Morrison Creek.
With the topography and, yeah.
And then if Morrison Creek someday actually chose to extend service, would you have to take their service? Like
probably. Yes, probably, yeah. If the water, you will have to. And we've given the easements that they've required. They'll be on the plat. So all easements are in place where they could run their
line. And you could be, each of those homeowners could be required to hook up?
If it does run by you, I think you're required,
okay.
Yes. Which I think is okay.
And then, not that I actually care, but it was in the minutes from the Planning Commission minutes. There was some, you guys are going to address whether lot owners can have horses. Again, I'm not sure that I care whether or not you're...
We asked about it during our initial plat, because if they're going to have horses and they're going to have elk and need to have wildlife-friendly elk hay containers and the rest was part of the reason why we saw that the last time. The reason why I asked about that at that point in time is how we're having the elk integrate with the horse elk.
Well, if they have wildlife friendly fencing and the horses.
Well, and if they're going to work with Libby to come up with a wildlife mitigation plan, I guess they're going to have to figure out that by then. I guess we just didn't want to leave it. Oh, I mean, I've seen it being a concern at different places and different times. I just think that, you know, Libby and you guys are all have to address it up front. It'd be a lot better to address it up front than to wait to have it happen.
And it will be. I did mention it earlier, but this also showed up, item from Libby, but a statement, she wants a statement that livestock will not be allowed on the estates. We need to define what livestock means. I would hope that someone could have some chickens.
Yeah, you're nine.
But maybe not
you're
a
city chickens.
Or, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's another thing that we clarified with Libby.
And again, it's probably better to clear it up with her. I mean, it's not like we're experts at it. I mean, but you guys ought to. And the clearer it is, better it will be for your client, your clientele that's sure. buying, moving in, too, understanding. So I had so the fencing was one of those things, and again, the perimeter fencing. I'm not so opposed to the perimeter fencing, especially if it's owned by the homeowners association. And again, I guess the other question that always kind of got me on these open parcels that's owned by the homeowners association
Is there some type of conservation easement that can go on those things or something so that they're not modified at a later point in time? And if the open space parcel?
That's part of the plat, so yeah. That wouldn't be able to be altered.
Why couldn't she come back in? I guess you'd have to have all eight property owners, I assume, agree on it. But what would stop all eight property owners coming back and asking to
replat that? They wouldn't meet their open space requirements.
Okay.
Except that they've met their open space requirements by a factor of four.
They could ask.
They could still theoretically peel something off and subdivide it. Right?
You would still have to say okay to the change.
I think it's restricted by slope.
30%.
That's pretty much.
Except for that little strip right down by 212.
I don't know. We haven't had that much problem with it, but I always worry when we say, oh, this is going to be like this forever, and then we turn around and, right. And we could have another replat of the plat, mm-hmm. And we could make the flagship parcels.
So when you go back to talk to Libby, I'm sitting there looking at the map and I'm thinking how much better it would be for wildlife to have one perimeter fence rather than have eight parcels each independently fenced.
Yeah, I think
I would much prefer to see one perimeter fence.
And you do need to be able to fence out. I mean,
yeah.
I had a steer come from Lynx Basin right into my potato garden, and mm-hmm. and I had a little fence, but he went right through it. So, but what we decided, I think, is in the covenants, if you're going to fence your personal house, it's your building. We're not going to have building envelopes on the plat, but our building envelopes are created from the buildable space with the slope. So we're going to have some language that says you could have your own fence within this area around
but not,
the house.
Not right
not
on
the
property
whole
line.
Property line. Yeah, that we would restrict because
okay.
There'd be fences.
So we'll see those kinds of details when you come back for final.
Yes.
Okay.
So my other question is, and I didn't have a problem with Chuck's additions other than the Chuck Weiskopf's addition, mm-hmm. to reduce property loss or damage from wildfire, annual brush hogging, an additional distance. So it didn't say how much. And, you know, is that going to be straightforward enough to an additional amount, or shouldn't that be more defined? I wouldn't want to. Well, it wasn't, right. wasn't enough. And then at the same point in time, we could go out
so
there and brush hog the
gave
whole
us that
damn
language,
valley.
And he said that it could be as simple as this because he would sign off on it, so he would work it out with Mike as to the proper distances for the brush hogging.
Okay, and I guess I'm fine with that too, but I would sure
him,
like to have
yeah.
that number be better.
Right.
Better, and if we're coming back at final plat, it ought to be, because that's probably something that's going to be in your covenants as well. I would think a homeowners right. association is going to be part of it.
For the maintenance of roads and the open space area.
Yeah.
Yeah, for,
and
your,
this,
for right. your guys' benefit, you wouldn't want to have it just be open-ended so that the fire department can come back and say you need to do more and more and more.
And that's all about the communication, because all these conditions are made and they're great. At some point, Mike's going to be just another homeowner within the community.
We understand that. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
And Chuck's going to be retired.
So,
you hope?
But so
no, he's made it clear he's gone here shortly.
I would say. Yeah.
2 years, but, yeah.
Document that in the CCNRs is the point.
Yeah. I would just hate to have somebody come back to the county and have us embroiled in a dispute. The fire department about.
I mean, I think the roadways make sense, and then when you build your house and get your building permit, you have to prepare your home site per the fire wise.
Yeah,
and that's
sure good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any other questions or changes. I think we're ready. And so, to fill us in a little bit more, then, do we see this again? Or are we done?
You final plat.
You will see it again for final.
Yeah, but final plat comes through as a consent agenda item. We just signed the plat.
Well, I mean, technically by the regs, the As long as it's substantially similar to preliminary plan, it's done administratively, and then signing is done on a consent agenda.
Right.
So I would say I'd even suggest the condition that, based on the pending issues identified in preliminary plan, final plat shall be heard by the board.
That would be, because I guess I'd like to know what we're doing on the wildlife.
And we asked Planning Commission the same thing, the same question, and they were okay to defer to you all. They were comfortable not seeing it again, provided they met those conditions of approval.
And then we still have the issue of the public site dedication, whether or not, who gets to decide whether the trails are adequate to meet the... Is that up to you? Or I guess
we'll comment on the staff report, but
we'll be seeing it on a consent agenda item potentially.
Just for signing,
The plat,
and you can approve the signing at the same time.
I see. So we will actually have a regular hearing in front of the public. Okay.
And that's what I was kind of asking. That's why I'm kind of leaning that way. Yes, we would like to.
Yes.
I mean, good luck, and we hope you do good on the thing. So.
I would just state for the record that I'm generally sympathetic to the trail, depending on what it looks like, depending on how it, you know, what it is. I mean, we did a stagehog tour the other day, and we were looking at portions of the trail system out there, which resemble my footpath behind my house to go down to the river. You know, I mean, is that a trail? But if it's a robust trail, then it really can be used by the public. I'm generally sympathetic to the concept.
Soft surface trail, yeah.
I think that we've tired of collecting the money as a fee in lieu, and I would rather see, especially in something this size, that something actually be done that's useful to the public rather than a few bucks.
Good. So I guess that we need to chat about that real quickly here. So I guess I'm fine that you guys have said that you guys are going to work out that 5%. So the fee in lieu or whatever, they'll pencil it out.
But I think we saw in the Planning Commission minutes that Brian Kelly identified that trail was only going to be a total of, say, 1 acre of land, which is not
5%. Yeah, but I understand that. But if he actually constructs the trail, that should be credited back toward his fee in lieu thing.
Sure, there'd be the expense associated with it in excess of the actual 1 acre of ground.
Yes.
Okay.
So the bottom line is what we're proving today is that these guys are going to work out it.
Yes.
The fee in lieu, whatever is needed, or whether qualifies for part or all, and let them pencil it out, and then we...
And they need to negotiate that out with planning staff.
Right.
And hopefully we have provided enough direction here that you guys got to feel like you know what we're looking for.
And we can better define what that trail is, to your point, so it's not just some beaten vegetation, but it's a 18 or 24-inch...
Yeah, so it's got some gravel on it. Is it, and do you anticipate letting people ride their mountain bikes on it, for instance? You know, it would have to be... I imagine you do. Mm-hmm. It would make sense, so... And it would need to be adequate for that, so it doesn't create erosion problems.
Well, and all of that then would go back into the public purpose.
Yes, I agree.
So that's what we're kind of...
So you agree with me. We've got the right direction here.
Yeah, we're not going to ask for all or what. I don't know, but let them negotiate it out.
Well, again, it comes back to, what is it, 80 acres? Is that what the total is?
It's a total
is?
Center.
So yes. 5% of that is, what, 4 acres? And what would we do with 4 acres up there for a public site?
And the regs say the board can require up to 5.
Right.
So if you're good with 1, then...
You guys can still work on it. Is there a desire to have a route to the peak?
No.
No, not to the peak.
It's right on the edge of the property.
Internal trails are going to kind of...
No, I understand that, but there... There's trespassers out there that do that now.
Yeah, so it would just be the yellow dove.
I understand that.
Okay.
But I understand that there's trespassers out there now that go to the peak.
Yeah, that's why we put the fence in, to keep the cows out. And when the people jump the fence, they're trespassing. So the liability goes away once you jump the fence. That's what the fence is.
Okay. Anyhow,
the fence would be on the side of the yellow trail.
Yes. So when we put our fence line in, I held the fence back 5 or 6 feet from the property line. So as you go up the hill, yes, the fence is here and the public trail will be on the property, but the fence is on the inside.
How much higher in elevation is this than this?
Just saying.
50, 80, 100 feet?
It's quite a bit. You get up there quite a ways. And so that the space on that west-facing slope where the blue trail is,
yeah,
that's all SPOA open space. So there's a... I went to the meeting last year. We talked about the blue trail. They set aside some money for it. Now they're going to spend a little more time and think about that spot. Do they want to put a longer trail in there? And so we're going to work together to make that happen. But they have that hillside is open space where there's a lot of possibilities.
And the bottom line, part of the reason that I'm so supportive of this being the public site is that if these trails all get built, it does make for kind of a nicer,
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Yeah,
and if it's just trail segment for the sake of having a trail segment, I'm not going to be so supportive. Mm-hmm. Its current configuration,
yeah, the trail,
if connected, makes a lot of sense to me.
And the trails are getting a lot of use summer, winter. I mean, it's exciting that we have.
Yeah. I don't have any more questions.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the zone change from HDR to MRE with the and by the way, this is Young's Peak PL 16-66. Move that zone change from HDR to MRE with the findings of fact that proposal with the following conditions meets the applicable guidelines of Rock County Master Plan and the Stagecoach Community Plan and is in compliance with the applicable provisions of Section 8 of the Rock County Zoning Regulation. Approval is subject to the following conditions, conditions 1 and 2 in the fact packet.
Second.
From the Planning Commission minutes.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the preliminary subdivision plan with the following findings of fact. The proposal with the following conditions meets the guidelines of Rock County Master Plan and Sub-Area Plan and is in compliance with Sections 4, 5, and 6 of the Rock County Zoning Regulations and Sections 3 and 4 of the Rock County Subdivision Regulations. The application, and with the finding also that the application is substantially similar to the approved sketch plan. The approval is subject to the following conditions. General conditions 1 through 10, specific conditions 11 through 20, 11 through 18, 11 through 17, excuse me, conditions, specific condition to reduce property 18, to reduce property loss or damage from wildfire, annual brush hogging, and additional reasonable distance from the road shoulders along both access roads. And then also conditions, specific conditions 19 and 20.
Second, is there any discussion? I'd just like to compliment the quality of this proposal. I think this got a lot going for it, but it made it pretty easy for me to keep moving forward with this. Thanks for the good work.
Nice of you to say so. Thank you.
Yep.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
We'll hopefully be back to see you sooner than it was between sketch plan and now.
We'll be all good. Good.
Come on up. Who's up first? Actually, Kim is.
Kim is first.
Afternoon.
Afternoon. How are you?
We're good.
Yeah.
Other than.
I know.
I know. I'm being a commissioner and irrigating today.
I know.
You're doing such a damn good job.
I'm really getting it spread out. So we are here for our 230 item. We're looking to do an ARCA search document preservation project.
Yes, we are. We're here to ask the board for the consideration
by the Board of County Commissioners for the Chair to sign the professional services agreement and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to ArcaSearch Corporation in the amount of $162,444 for the county clerk's document preservation project. And the background on this is that we have, the county clerk has a little over 190,000 historical documents dating back
but
several...
But who's keeping track?
Has to be being the key word there.
Might be 189, but I'm not sure. Anyway, that need to be professionally archived and digitized with an intuitive search engine to research the documents expeditiously for both staff and our constituents. The county clerk applied for it, received it, that is available to government entities for this massive preservation process. After researching firms or consultants that perform this work, it was determined that ArcaSearch Corporation has the sole technical capabilities to initiate the search engine requirement, as well as they perform the digitization on site, which is best for protecting our historical records throughout the process. And we are asking for the waiver of the formal purchasing process as to the following criteria: that the waiver of the competitive process is found to be in the best interest of the county and its citizens. Questions?
So I can give you a little bit more explanation on this whole thing. So, well, first of all, in 1983, we ended up with some recording software that allowed us to digitally capture images, and it also had what's called OCR, where it does automatic indexing when it can identify a word. Well, this particular product has OCR.
1983?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it was an upgraded version, so it didn't start in 83, the automatic indexing. Okay. But back in, I think it was 05, the legislature passed a bill that allowed for a dollar technology fee tacked onto each document that was recorded. And that's what we've retained in the county funds. And since then, every time we got an upgrade or a new recording software project, we would utilize that fund. And currently, there's almost $38,000 in that fund. Then back in 2015, the legislature approved a bill that added on a $2 surcharge that went to the state, and it's administered by the Secretary of State's office and the Electronic Recording Technology Board, of which I'm a member. And so monthly we meet and we review grant requests and, you know, approve them or whatever. But the funds were in, that legislation was initially passed because we recognized there were a lot of smaller counties that didn't have money to even have recording systems, like Jackson doesn't have one right now. I think they're about the only ones, but the rest of them are, you know, they don't have like an e-commerce portion to it. And they're not able to really film any of their old archival documents. So this particular product is going to take everything from 83 back in our records, including road reviewers' reports, those resolutions. I don't know if you've ever had to look those up, but they're hand-indexed chronologically by year, and it's difficult finding resolutions sometimes because they weren't recorded back then. Then it's going to also include commissioner minutes. So when you want to find something, you don't need to know what meeting that, you know, it was discussed. You can just use that search option, which is using the OCR, and put in Bridge, and it can come up with documents that have Bridge in them. So
we must have documents that go back more than a few decades.
Oh, yeah, back to the 1800s. Yeah. And, you know,
most of them are all in her books.
The ones that are in the vault.
In vaults, yeah.
So right now, what people have to do is go into those hand indexes, and again, they're chronological, even though they're broken down by alphabetical index, and, you know, just literally search through everything. So our only other solution to making those documents searchable is to go back and index all of those documents. And that didn't seem very practical. This particular company has some advanced camera capabilities that make even those really bad inverted images, I don't know if you've ever seen them, where it's white on black, and, you know, where the typewriter ribbon should have been replaced and so part of it's unreadable, it has the ability to enhance those better than the originals.
So how long will it take them to do this?
About 3 months.
And will they be a big impact on your office while they're doing it?
No, actually, we thought we could use the elections office for that.
But they especially need, if they need space started. Inside of the building.
Yes. That's super important because otherwise, you know, we'd have that issue of transferring them and not having them. Yeah.
So it will all be done off-site.
Mm-hmm. And they've done, I think, the majority of the counties in Wyoming, and they're just starting to get into Colorado.
I think it's a great thing.
I do, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh.
I don't have any more questions.
Mr. Chair, I move that we...
I have a question. Yeah. If we make a motion just so that we get the motion right regarding the grant. What is required by the grant? You don't have to have it purchased before the grant is awarded.
No, not at all. The grant has to be approved before that. And then the requirement is that once the grant's approved, they would send us a check or electronically transfer what we're requesting, and that was, what, 127 somewhere. Because we're going to pitch in the
$38,000. Okay. So,
And then we have a year.
Yes, spend. I'll stand.
Okay. So my suggestion is that the motion include your approval of this contract, but signing is dependent upon the award of the grant dollars.
Okay. Well, we can just hold it.
That's right. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
So
I will hold it until
we'll just hold it until
we get a notice.
It's going to be 30 days. Maybe 30 days.
The 28th is the next of June is okay. The next meeting, so it'll be about 30 before 30. We know. And sometimes they come back and want things clarified a little bit more. So
No big deal there.
Yeah.
You're feeling pretty good about your chances at this grant.
Yeah, and I'm hoping also that we can get them on board and filming, you know, right away.
Quickly.
Because you don't want them interfering with your election season.
Right. And, you know, we have four elections starting in November back-to-back, so this is kind of our only window.
Okay.
So we got a couple things. We got a contract, professional service contract, as well as the electrically signing the purchase order, so we can have your authorization electronically signing it after we get the grant award.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
So what am I signing right here?
You're going to.
You're signing, and I'm going to hold on to it.
Professional services agreement. So I'm going to have him. I'm going to approve his signature on it. You're just going to hold it.
I'll hold it.
Right. So
we'll deliver it all.
Mr.
Three.
Chair, regarding the agenda item, I move that we also included in the motion will be waiving the formal purchasing. Is that correct?
Process?
Yes, we have.
Waiving the formal purchase process and authorize the Chair Pro Tem's signature on the award of grant funding for the professional services agreement and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to ARCA Search Corporation in the amount of $162,444 for the county clerk's document preservation project. And those signature, the purchase order signature will be contingent upon receiving the grant approval.
Second. Very well done.
That was a mouthful.
Thank you very much.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Well, very good. Yeah, we look Thank forward you. To hopefully, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so we get easier on everybody.
What, yeah.
We got it done.
I think we're also
just
gonna
so you're not
do
the police blotter.
What year was that? Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Now you have me curious.
Gentlemen, care to join us? So we have a CAD event notification system RFQ.
Yes, we do. Sorry, I'm trying to find my copy of the agenda item.
I didn't bring a copy because you always have one.
Thank you, sir. It was in here. It went up to Eric's office with the other paper.
Two fingers to scroll.
Thank you. So we are here for consideration by the Board of County Commissioners for the Chair to sign the Terms of Use Agreement for Emergency Services Marketing Corp. Incorporated for their CAD notification system. Is that a budgeted expense?
Two fingers to scroll.
Two. Not going. Click on that. There we go. And so our current CAD event notification system provided to the Route County Communications Department will no longer be supported by the current vendor effective in June 2019. And due to this issue, the Route County Purchasing Agent issued RFI number 7 to determine what new technology was available for a CAD event notification system in the market. The responses were evaluated by the review committee, which consisted of several employees in the Route County Communications Department, two fire department chiefs, and several law enforcement representatives. Based on the information, the purchasing agent issued an RFQ to 5 vendors to attain pricing, and we received 3 results. So while this is not the lowest bid, it is the most robust system that we can move forward with. And one of the biggest benefits is that each individual municipality or department or law enforcement agency will be maintaining their own information on the system, which takes away a lot of the burden on the communications department to maintain the databases. People have to keep their information up to date if they change their phone number, this and that. So it's a great software system. One of the things that did come up, though, was reading through the agreement and having it reviewed by Eric, was they refused to remove the indemnity clause, which we generally really don't like. And the explanation by the president of the company to me was that the indemnity clause is basically covering the software for use as a service system, that if they were to give us directions to get to a site where an event was happening and there was a low clearance bridge and we went through the fire truck and took the top off, you know, that's an insurable event. But they just want to be indemnified from us coming back and saying, well, that's where you sent us, so we went, you know. So Eric was fine with it. And I believe he spoke to you, Doug. You weren't here that day. But and all the other issues we were able to work through. And so we're looking to do this for 5 years. We did put in the Tabor clause so that we are not obligated to any funds until that is approved next January 1. So
you can see the comparisons in the agenda item in the submittal that, you know, the upfront cost, their upfront cost or initial cost is second, and then if you look at the 5-year cost, which is really what we wanted to utilize to see what it's going to cost us over time, all 3 of the companies are pretty comparable. This emergency SMC, which they're code name is, their branding is I Am Responding. That's what the fire departments and other users know it as, I Am Responding. So just for some additional clarifications, this project will completely replace the current project we have for, which is known as HipLink. So the texts that you guys get for certain event notifications from HipLink are going to totally go away, and they'll look different with this project. So we're going to need to go through over the next month or so and set up properly based on what information you guys are wanting to receive notifications on. So
readable information.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
One of the things that this company does also is for smartphones, there's actually an app. So it does push notifications. It looks very graphically pleasing, the information that you get. Some of the other things that we focused on as well is the hip link that we have right now has some infrastructure, a server that our IT department is required to maintain, and that'll go away because it's a software as a service. It does everything in the cloud, so that'll be something that we don't have to worry about replacing and maintaining into the future, which isn't a large cost, but it is a cost nonetheless. So those were a couple of things that we focused on.
And one of the things that we were concerned about with the using this service in a web-based, cloud-based, we're assured that, you know, when you go in and out of
service... We've got plenty of cloud-based out there today. Got a lot of cloud-based.
You know, as you go in and out of service, though, in our community, which happens, none of the calls are dropped as soon as they're back in a service area. Everything is... So it's a redundant service.
Essentially, nothing's going to change. If you get notifications on your phone now... through HipLink, you're going to get these notifications. If you don't get them now, based on where you're located and having bad cell service, you're going to have the same issues with this one as well. So, which is one of the challenges that we have to deal with in the county, unfortunately.
So, my question:
how many agencies use this? 70,000.
There were about 7,000 around the country that use this company.
70 agencies in Colorado use it.
How many?
70. In Colorado?
Use the emergency SMC.
Including Eagle County. Eagle County is our closest that utilizes it.
So I guess my question, so you said that HipLink was no longer going to be serviced, and yet they provided us a new bid?
It's new.
Yeah, so they were an upgrade to their service.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So what they did say, what they meant, was that our current service was not going to be continued on.
Correct. They would not continue to maintain our service as is. It's a much older version.
Force your head. Well, you can either...
Sure.
Sometimes that works.
Yeah, we're just continuing. It's the good news. We can sell you something.
Exactly. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve and authorize the Chair Pro Tem's signature on the Terms of Use Agreement for the Emergency Services Marketing Corporation, Inc., for their CAD event notification system software.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Well, I'm running a tight ship here. We're only 2 minutes behind schedule. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's go. We've got 2 minutes to make up here.
It depends on what schedule you're looking at.
So we're here for our 2:50 p.m. human resources item, a request for approval of the enterprise application analyst administrator pay scale.
Want to do that one? That is correct.
Very good. Kathy, what have you got for us?
Evaluation and discussions, we have determined that based on the implementation of the Munis Tyler Technology software, that we would benefit from having a position that helps us with the continued implementation of the program and any additional software that we have coming into Brown County. And this position would be responsible for planning, configuring, supporting, and maintaining all Brown County's enterprise applications, and would act as a liaison between vendors, subject matter experts, end users, county departments, and implementing enterprise technologies throughout the organization. Mr. Felinzak, or Robert Felinzak, was recommending a starting salary of $72,000 for this position, but having reviewed the job description, his salary recommendations, and what is out in the market, the position or the salary that I was finding more closely matched the database administrator software developer position. And so to make things simpler, we made a determination that we'd like to recommend that we match the salary pay to the database administrator position.
Did we have any external examples of this?
Yeah.
There were not a lot of external examples for this particular position. The exact or closely matched position that I referenced was tied to employers' council salary survey information. And it basically came from all of the counties that had participated in the salary survey. And the midpoint for that is what we chose for a midpoint for this particular position.
So you said two
I'm giving you bad information. I'm thinking of the public health position.
You ended up feeling that the internal position was the best match.
Was the best match, and...
So what did you provide us here in the packet with the Enterprise Application Analyst Administrator?
So what I provided for that was a systems analyst, ERP systems analyst, journey level match from...
Okay, so this pay scale here...
That pay scale there is based on the midpoint of if that information is based on what I found out in the marketplace, and it was so closely matched to the existing position that we had as a database administrator, so we just went with that.
So where is the database administrator? Do we have that number?
That is that. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's the number.
It.
Okay. That's fine. That's what I'm trying to get to. Because we're actually approving the pay scale.
Yeah, you are. And I apologize for that.
I just wanted to make sure that...
What'd you get that going on vacation?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the the Enterprise Application Analyst Administrator pay scale, and that would be at starting level, step one level at $36.52 an hour, salary $3,078.17, an annual salary $73,876.16, and up with there from there on the pay scale.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next. What are we working on, Kathy?
Let's just go to the other approval for the public health director. So actually, this is the one where there was limited information on salary. Excuse me. And in looking at the information that was available, we went with the county information, the average of the county data that was out there, and the midpoint, we took the midpoint of the minimum and maximum of that salary range and used that as our midpoint for this particular pay scale.
So you guys have reviewed this and are in agreement with it?
Yeah.
This new position that we have?
Thank you.
I just got to get my digs in every once in a while, you know.
Have we shared this information with Moffat County, pray tell, or not really?
I believe we have.
Yes. In a range.
Yes.
We did.
It was posted, I think, in the position announcement.
So, yes, we have shared.
We've shared that.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the public health director pay scale. That would be step one of $90,917, monthly at $75.76, and hourly at $43.71.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Next is the consideration to approve an OSS, our firefighter, to advance to step 9 of the pay scale upon completion of a successful 6-month performance evaluation. Kevin Booth has requested that this particular individual receive an advance in steps based on the person's credentials and also fact that this individual has exceeded his performance goals during the first 6 months. in reviewing all the employees' credentials and against how we advance our people, this employee meets all the educational and work experience requirements to advance to step 9. He has a BS, he has an MA, and attended the Navy Damage Control A School, which exceeds the minimum qualifications required for the position. These three degrees make him eligible for step 4, and his 27 plus years of relevant experience, 24 years more than is required, along with his multiple certifications and trainings, exceed the minimum requirements, making him eligible to advance from step 3 to step 9.
When would this take effect?
Yeah, there's a little confusion here about 6 month review, and it sounds like 6 month review has already been done.
It has already been carried out, but in fairness to the employee, we feel that this particular person should be moved forward based on his background and credentials.
As of when?
May 16th would be the effective date.
Oh, it's right there.
It would have been cleaner if we'd have made this request at the time of hire. But Kevin was unsure at that time as to the skill sets of this person, and he's been convinced now that he definitely exceeds, met the performance standards, but also his credentials qualify for this step now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we interviewed him on the phone. I interviewed him on the phone. And so sounded like a great hire. Right? 21 years of Navy leadership, rose through the ranks to E8, second highest rank, enlisted rank in the Navy in 21 years. That's remarkable. So he sounded great, interviewed well. But we have a 6 month probation period for a reason. So I think the only thing we probably lagged a little bit, brought him into step 3, which is as high as I could go at the time, or Tompkin authorized at the time. I said, the better time to do this is let's get to know him. 6 months. Is this just paying the rent for 6 months and then he's going to find something better? Because he's certainly more than qualified to do what he's doing. So we've just lagged a little bit. So he's beyond his 6 months, but it was right in the middle of our winter season. So we started this action now.
I'm just glad that it's not retroactive to the first of the year or something like that.
No, and he had to finish some training requirements. So while he's highly qualified, his local training requirements for Part 139 airport operations he needed to do, and he's been really diligent in getting that done, and so he's finished it up. So this aligns with him finishing the last task, which was a live burn.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the advancement of the OSS ARF firefighter to step 9, effective May 16th. It would just be the easiest way to do that.
Second, Navy Damage Control School, so that's more than a weekend.
Yes.
Something that took.
So he was on aircraft carriers, that's his background, and then eventually led a team actually working with Subpen. So he's had some significant leadership. I mean, he's hired looking for the people. So he is our succession plan, my succession plan, following. Dustin, he'll compete. Not part of this request, but just for background, the intent is to promote at the 1 year point or thereabouts, both himself and so we have two firefighters on full time staff, which is unusual for us. We generally have four officers and a superintendent. And right now we have two full time firefighters, he's one of them. But once they both reach their 1 year of full time service, I can promote them both to lieutenant, and then we'll promote one of our lieutenants to captain to fill in the gap we have now.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 I thought you were behind him the probationary period because he was from the Navy and not the Air Force.
Well, that was taken into account as well. Might not have competed as well if there had been a Navy or an Air Force applicant as well.
You chose not to hold that against him.
He actually served in West Route Fire before he went into the Navy.
Well, isn't he Lori's daughter? I mean, and isn't he Lori's son? Lori McCartney?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, we, Terry's son. Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. Kathy, you got one more for us, huh?
One more. consideration for you to approve hiring the HR generalist 2 at step 9 of the pay scale.
And by the way, the airport is really muddy out there, by the way.
Yes, it is.
This can't be helping anything out there.
No. If you look at the FBO project today, it is a ghost town.
Oh, my gosh. Just like, man. I was out there suddenly.
That was a good call.
I'm sorry, nasty. Kathy. But anyhow, that's thank fine. You.
So again, this is for your consideration to approve hiring the HR generalist 2 at step 9 of the pay scale. The county manager has approved hiring this HR generalist at step 3. However, the candidate's experience and credentials greatly exceed the minimum requirements, and I would like to hire this person at step 9. This individual has a Bachelor of Science in Philosophy and a minor in Organizational Management, an Associate of Applied Science in Hospitality Management, certified Workforce Development Professional, and a Certified Senior Professional in Human Resources. The minimum educational requirements for the position include a bachelor's degree in a related field. So the candidate's 2 additional certifications and associate's degree qualify her for 3 additional steps. In addition, she has over 22 years of relevant experience with the minimum requirement of 4 years. So her work experience exceeds the minimum by 18. And based on our policy, each 2 to 3 years of additional years of experience qualifies her for making her eligible for a minimum of 6 additional steps plus the education.
I'm just glad to know that there's a practical application for someone with a degree in philosophy.
So when?
Because I was going to be a philosophy major. This one didn't work out for me. But
when is this applicant starting?
Today.
And then how come we didn't do it like, you know, or step 8 or step 9, and then we get a 6-month review and the rest too, and just we're just doing this effective at the hire date?
We're doing this effective at the hire date.
Okay.
Or I'm recommending doing this at the hire date.
Okay. You ready? You
are. Sure. You bet. Sounds like Kathy really wants this person to go to work.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the hiring of the HR generalist 2 at step 9 of the pay scale, effective at hire date.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Thanks for getting us back on schedule here.
Ahead of schedule, yeah.
Where are your people?
We're back ahead of schedule now because I'm such an efficient chairperson.
Come up just early. Yeah. Just planning is pretty well. So.
Our an invitation from the health partners.
Okay.
So we are here for our a little early for our 3:20 item. Our Human Services Director Kelly Keefe. Discussing Department of Human Services, TANF allocation spending. Kelly.
Yes, great. Would you like me just to kind of go forward, but if it goes? Okay. So we have in the past given TANF funds to the Route to Work and the Fatherhood Program. Historically, we have done that. We get $280,000 for TANF each year. TANF funds are used for families that need basic cash assistance and for workforce issues and things like that. This is going to be the first year that we're looking like we will have about $60,000 that we, if we do not spend, we will have to revert back to the state. We have our reserves will be at max this year, and we've bought enough CCAP to cover not needing to transfer TANF over to CCAP. So my thought is to find a way to keep that $60,000 or as much or whatever portion of that we want in the community. And we can use those funds to support programs that are TANF eligible for funding and that meet the TANF criteria. So I propose some programs that I would like to consider giving the funding for. One thing with the TANF is the county has to pay a maintenance of effort on it. So for this year, our maintenance of effort was $34,000 and about $500. We have to pay that no matter what. If we revert it back, we just lose the MOE on that. They don't. If we, you know, we don't have to pay less if we don't spend it. We've already paid it up front. We could.
That was important to know.
I
appreciate knowing that.
Yeah.
Again, we've already spent our portion
of
the money.
Right. Right.
Whether we use the Fed money or not, we've already spent.
Right. Right. Yeah. The only way to recoup that MOE is kind of just like what we do with CCAP, is we sell it and we take the MOE on. A lot of times it's harder to sell TANF. It's a higher MOE, and a lot of counties have enough TANF. So I could try that. It might be successful, it might not, but a month out, a lot of times it would be difficult. But that is an option that we could do.
But then, even then, the only thing we would recoup would be our MOE that we've already spent.
On the $60,000 or whatever we would
recoup. And so your proposal now, and I'm going to... is just to try to keep money in locally in our community that we've already spent our maintenance effort on.
So what exactly are you planning on spending this money on?
Well, that's what I wanted to make sure you're understanding. So I was going to do the fatherhood program and route to work. I put tentative numbers because we need to make sure that we don't give more to the program than their TANF-eligible families. So TANF-eligible families are a family with children in the home or a child in the home and make less than $75,000. So I have to make sure, like, fatherhood and route to work both send me the numbers of participants in the program or the cost of the program, and make sure that we're not giving too much TANF funds to the program if they're not serving that many TANF-eligible people.
So we give you this authorization.
Right.
It may still come to pass if you don't find a way to spend the whole money.
Right. I'm going to try. I have about $47,000 kind of budgeted right now. The other programs that are not Fatherhood and Route to Work are Partners of Route County for $10,000, Rocky Mountain Youth Corps for $5,000, and then if we want to do Little Lambs as well. That's the other options. And part of the deciding factors on the other programs are they hit the other areas of TANF. So we hit the funding areas that we can use for TANF. It can be used for keeping families together. It can be used for workforce development. It can be used for child care. And it can be used for, like, school-based support programs. And so we're hitting all of those with those programs. And then the other partners and Rocky Mountain Youth Corps have both been funded in the past with the Collaborative Management Program. So those are the divorce funds that come to Sarah Griffa runs that program now. We got word just recently that they're no longer wanting, the state is no longer allowing us to use those collaborative management funds for mini grant types programs. They only want us to fund big programs where multi-system is what they call it, so that school, mental health, and things like that are all working together, and human services are all working together. So instead of being able to give money to partners and Rocky Mountain Youth Corps, as we have in the past with that funding, we can only fund programs like Day Treatment Alternative that have many players at the table.
Clear as mud.
Certainly.
I can answer more questions.
I think that's almost a no-brainer to try to keep this money here in the county.
I think that's the important thing, I think. I mean, we just need to keep the money in the community versus sending it back to the feds.
And all of the programs that you mentioned are
right.
So how much, again, is this all going to cost a bunch of more record keeping and audit tracking and the rest of the stuff, or
no,
are you already doing all this?
We already are doing it. I've already talked with the county preliminary to make sure we did this, and talked with the programs that are potentially to receive it. And they already do the tracking on the income and the household compositions of the families. And so all it is that if we get audited, I can justify that partner serves X amount of people, fatherhood serves X amount of people, and this is the money we gave them. It's way less than the number of TANF, it's appropriate amount of funds for the TANF families this year.
Right. So I guess bottom line is, so we didn't agendize this for an action item anyhow, so I'm comfortable with how you did, and I appreciate the discussion that we're having. And again, that's why I sent you back the email about the MOE, because I figured we'd already spent the MOE, unless we sold it.
And we don't typically sell our MOE.
Right, and I would think the impact of $60,000 in the community versus the $8,000 that we would get back, it's not my money, but I think it would be better served than trying to sell that at the last minute. And then I think there's potential for next year in the budget process, since we know we're at a max TANF, that we can, you know, move forward.
Max TANF reserves.
Well, our TANF reserves are maxed right now. So then during the next TANF allocation cycle.
Yep. It's likely that we'll have extra.
Right, and then we have more time to think of, you know, how we want to spend it and other programs that we possibly want to consider.
Well, like I said, every program that you mentioned, something that's worthy of supporting. So.
Sounds good.
So kind of can you just put together a regular agenda item and bring it to you for your approval, which I think is great.
Well, I guess this discussion. The question, does it need a supplemental budget?
No, I don't think. No,
no, she's got the money.
She's got the money. So she can go ahead. If you're okay, she can go ahead.
Yeah, I don't even think we need to have another agenda.
I'm willing to.
I think it's within her department head.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
We're all good.
Yeah, and I trust your judgment. I mean, you're going to make good choices with how to spend that money. That's fine.
We're here to
not beat it to death.
Okay,
that's why we're here today, to ensure that.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's a good question to raise. Do we really want to direct you how to spend that money? And the answer is no.
Yeah, I think we'd still like to have you have a little
report
flexibility,
back.
Too.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there might be something comes up that, wow, that really is a good deal. Maybe I don't need to do this one just to get that. Anyhow, so we're comfortable with your discretion.
Thank you.
I guess Little Lambs is this close to opening.
Yeah, well, good.
Not quite
close. There. Okay.
Apparently they're waiting on one or two pieces of paper from the state at this point. They're that close to being ready. So.
Good.
Okay, there you go, Kelly. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Pete, Melly, you guys want to come on up? We don't mind running a little ahead of schedule. Unless there's... Unless
get you out of here early.
I'm just trying to run a tight ship here. Commissioner Melton is gone.
That's thinking there's going to be some sunbathing later. I want to do so. You know.
We were just saying.
Are you going to Mexico?
I can't find a weather report that says it's supposed to be snowing right now. It's supposed to be warming and rain.
I just looked at the powder cam at the top of the mountain, 16 inches out of the snow.
Oh, that's what Hill
nice.
Is telling us, too.
Holden Park ought to be good right about now, huh?
Wait, you just got out of the river, and you want to go back to skiing?
I can do it with this one. Good snow. Yeah, some skiing, yeah.
I talked to a guy the other day that rode his bicycle up the road to Rainbow Saddle and hiked up to the top and skied down.
Really?
Yeah.
Back to his bike.
Back to
his bike.
Yeah, because that's kind of where the snow was.
Snow stops anyway, yeah.
Okay.
So let's see, where are we here?
So, let me start. Museum Board met April 30th, and at that time reviewed request to withdraw, which was the Julie Harris Theater, $10,000. And they applied through HRC, Historic Rock County. And then the board reviewed four new capacity building grants. The total building grants, the new ones were in the amount of $24,917.50. And we have currently, for new funding, we had $55,647. So there was plenty of money in there. So... And here is. Okay. So I'll let's
see.
So the first thing we looked at. Let's see, make sure. Yeah. The first thing we looked at was the Hayden Heritage Center, and they wanted a roof repair on the depot down there at Hayden. And because it's a historic building, they have to use historic materials, which are ultimately very expensive. And the railroad would use those things because they could chip it in on the railroad and it was right there. But now it's very difficult to find.
What is the roof?
It's like clay tile.
Yeah, there's a picture in there.
Yeah.
It makes for a really nice roof.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty solid for sure, but this is sort of worn out and places
sure.
It needs to be replaced. So we recommended that you approve that in an amount of $4,328.50.
The just a note that they do have a pallet of it from previous use, and then the rest that won't be needed has to come from Spain.
Spain, really?
Portugal can't compete.
Ours is a little darker. Our clay is darker.
Wow.
Hopefully, there's a new tariff on it.
So I guess back to the question then. So the project is $8,657 that we're looking at right now.
Correct.
And they're asking for $4,028.50 from us.
Yes. Right.
Since we're going to have this one for the Julie Harris, how is everybody else doing on all the rest of the projects? Is everybody all caught up before we get into the
meeting? They actually are. Even though the on my spreadsheet, the Oak Creek still had an open one, they've since gotten that money back on that. They closed that out. Then the Perry Mansfield, obviously, is the other one. The Oral.
We finally got crossings done for Corrigan up there.
Right. So
haven't got my money back yet.
Yeah, so there's only a couple. The Oak Creek has the $800 one still open. And then Hayden is working on that, the collection, that five
project.
Grand. Yeah. And then the oral history.
That's the only one left,
I think.
Okay.
Ongoing.
Yeah, I think that one's still ongoing.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the request for the depot roof repair submitted and approve the grant funding for the $4,328.50 for 50% of the expenditures on that project.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, and secondly, we have the Historic Rock County was working with the Morning Willett House, which is over here in the United Way building, and they're requesting $10,000 to repair the basement walls, I think is what
it is. Yeah, the foundation.
Foundation, yeah. And we had a long discussion about it, trying to decide if it was of historical value or not, but we came to the conclusion that it was, especially on the foundation part of the house. Even though there's been a couple of changes to the upper part of the house, the foundation still remains the same. And so after some discussion, we approved our recommendation to you for the $10,000 grant on that.
Yeah, Paul Brinkman volunteering to be your general contractor. Mm-hmm. That's great.
It is great.
Yeah.
He's been so professional. He's just walking us through everything.
You know, I know another former general contractor that probably...
He's had to put on his belt several times.
He doesn't want to supervise anyone, though.
Actually, they just started working on this project, and they had to take down that former contractor's pony wall. Then they put a pony wall in that corner just to strengthen everything up until we could start working on it. He did that about right after we moved in. So, yeah, he gets called on.
I know
the feeling. I've been kind of doing the same thing.
Tim has done drywall over there.
Oh, no, my wife has me working on historic buildings. Mm-hmm.
There was a discussion with the board as to the fact that this was purchased by an entity, and currently there are two nonprofits in there, but Millie advised the board that should they sell it to another entity, it would have to be a nonprofit, and so the building stays always as a housing nonprofit.
Thank you for bringing that up. That was an excellent question on the part of Jim Peterson, because we need to be very, very clear with everything we do in that building. We have an operating agreement between Rock County. It's actually not the Rock County United Way building. It's actually, hence the name Nonprofit Center, 443 Oak Nonprofit Center. It's owned by the two nonprofits because the donors gave money to those two nonprofits to purchase the building. And then the remainder of the loan is being paid back to the donors. However, as she stated, the operating agreements is very specific, and Jason Lacey walked us through this, to say that if either of the entities wouldn't it be great if Integrated Community worked themselves out of a job, something like that, you know?
If they went away.
If they went away, or if Rock County United Way goes away, they have to either sell or give to a nonprofit within the county. And hence, that building is going to forever be a community building, which was the point. A nonprofit building, a house for a housing for other entities.
It's not going to be torn down to build a hotel.
It's
so if we had legal look at this, I mean, I had the same question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with the $10,000. I don't have a problem with giving the money to there and the rest. But if some type of deed restriction or something like that, if the building got sold or something, the same thing that Jason was working on, if the building got sold, our Museum and Heritage Fund money would come back to us to be reapplied back out to the community again. So I wonder if we ought to have, you know, some look at that.
Like a legal look at their operating agreement?
I wish I would have brought it because that was why we had Jason draw it up.
I think we could do that subsequent to making this decision.
I can certainly get you the document.
Just for a few, because I would be surprised if they came back and looked for some other grant for that building.
I think I could probably pull it up from my phone.
Yeah, in addition, sometimes we have a question about the different types of building and about it being open to public use, and this one, of course, is.
Mm-hmm. And it's been on the historic tour for years.
And, of course, I have a kind of a personal thing with this. It's my grandfather built that house.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. And then the first owner was Judge Warren, who was the first judge when they moved from Ponce Peak to Steamboat. And then, of course, it was Doc Willett's house until 1970 when he died.
Those old high craftsmen really built some interesting stuff back in the day.
They did, indeed.
Didn't necessarily use all the modern connectors.
So
I found that out when you did the crossings thing.
Well, sometimes the old time craftsmen were not such great craftsmen, but they were good at getting buildings built.
Yeah, they got it done.
Quickly.
Got her done.
So are you okay with
that? So, yeah, I'm all right with this. And if we have an issue with it, we'd like to see that operating.
Absolutely.
And then we'll have Helen. But we can approve the motion. And if we see some holes in it we don't like, we can bring it back up and have a reconsideration of the motion to tighten things up a little bit.
Okay.
If we don't feel it. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks it's unfair. If the building did get sold, just like you said,
yeah.
We'd like to get our $10,000 back and put it somewhere else, museum, heritage.
Right.
Because we wouldn't have sell it unless it was getting sold at some huge profit or something. So I don't know.
Hence the verbiage. And I've got it pulled up and now.
Yeah, it'll just send it to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the request for the Morning Willett House Structural Rehabilitation Project. Submitted in the amount of $10,000 for 50% of the expenditures.
Second.
Do you want
any further discussion?
About review of the?
No, we're going to do that anyhow.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, and then third, the Historical Society of Oak Creek and Pittsburgh, they are nearing the end of that project. It's been going on for many years, as you know, and this is for landscaping at the Bucket Park. $77,589.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the request for the Coal Miners Bucket Park Landscaping Phase 2 grant. Approved in the amount of $7,589 or 50% of the expenditures.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 And then fourth, we have Federal Pioneers Museum is going to partner with the city on a audio tour of the history of House and Hill. And we had a lot of questions about that and how it might be maintained in the future, because sometimes things get approved and built but without any maintenance kind of a review on them. And as we looked into it further, we found out that they do have that, and we approved that. We recommended it to you for approval.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a second meeting to clarify, and then Candace just walked in.
Yeah.
She cleared it with Jim Peterson, several of the board's questions, and everybody felt comfortable with moving forward.
So, if we have a moment, could we have them come up and tell us what this is? I looked at it.
Sure.
On the grant application. I guess I'm
please.
I was kind of Greek here what this was.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
So, we're talking about your audio tour now.
Yeah.
They just had a few questions.
Sure.
So, tell us what it is.
So, we've been looking for years and years and years for sort of the best components to give an audio history so that we don't have to sign Steamboat to death. I know it's a big concern of the city that with all of the wayfinding and maps and different things like that, that there's kind of enough signs in Steamboat at trailheads and things like that. And yet it seems to be popular opinion that when you go over to House and Hill, you don't really know where you are. You're looking at a building. You're looking at what could be ski jumps if you've ever seen ski jumps before. There's little to no interpretation. We do weekly walking tours over there in the summer on Tuesdays. And actually this year, Todd Ladwick's going to lead those, so that's going to be really great. But then when he's not there, there's still no interpretation. And so we've been really thinking, this is a really a long time coming project for us, in that we've been thinking about what's really the best way to tell the story of House and Hill. And since just recently, there's been all of this focus and attention, especially by the city, on House and Hill being the oldest continuously operating ski area in North America, we felt like the time was right to go ahead and go with this project. And so we found, and I was just down in New Orleans at the American Association of Museums and met with the contractor who actually creates the units that we'll be purchasing, and did some planning with him, which was great. And it's their units called Solar Audio Tour Post. EcoMate is the company, and basically they are all over the country in national parks and doing all kinds of interpretation. They're weatherproof, they're... they are vandal-proof, and you do pre-recorded content, and then it's a push-button system, so you would learn about Olympic history, House and Hill history, Carl House, and then we do, like, Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club and ski jumping.
So there's, like, a different button for each.
A different button for each. They would all be labeled. Museum information to go and learn more would be on the sides. It's powered by solar, so there's no electricity. I've had several meetings with the city and gotten them on board as far as giving us the permissions to do that, and they'll be helping us to install it.
So that's the picture right there.
Yep, that's what it looks like. So that would be, and so that can either be mounted on a post, which most likely to be mounted on the post.
And it's weatherproof like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it outdoor, below.
You don't need to build a separate roof over it.
Nope, you don't. And so basically, they have had it tested in Alaska to full sun, where it doesn't go away, to the coldest of temperatures. There is an initial warranty in the first year, and then they just don't really have a lot of problems with them until really 5 years out, which I think is what you can expect that you might be having to do some repair and replacement. We're going into a contract with the city that basically the museum has to do everything that is in relation to this exhibit.
Well, it's a great thing. I appreciate you guys doing this.
Yeah, so. I think it'll be fun. You're welcome.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see it as a pilot program, too.
Yeah.
So the top of that, is that the solar panel power? And
that's the solar panel if you had it not under cover. We're most likely going to mount it under the cover of that overhang as you walk into house, and in which case the solar panel will be up on top of their roof. So they have actually an extendable cable.
So it's all audio stuff that's going to be coming out
mm-hmm.
of this thing.
Yep. And then we'll have one side is English, and then the other side is Spanish,
mm-hmm.
which isn't required, but I know city projects do a lot of that kind of thing. So
sounds good to me.
You ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the capacity building grant request for the Halls and Hill audio tour post in the amount of $3,000 for 50% of the or 50% of the expenditures.
Second. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Very good.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.